This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Thank you, and let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you have put your life into our hands. Now we put our lives into yours. Take us, renew us, and remake us. What we have been is past. What we shall be through you still awaits us. Lead us on, take us with you. Amen. Please be seated. Oh, they want to hear my sermon. You can't hear anything in the back there, by the way. I found that out. The best line in this gospel is, Jesus noticed. So we had the two parts of the gospel. When you all turned the page, that was the second part. So Jesus noticed what? First he notices the guys with the long robes, and they're the ones that devouring the widow's houses. I'm assuming they were the moneylenders, etc. But of course the focus is on what we know this gospel is really honored. It's called the widow's mite. And so we hear Jesus saying, he noticed. It's a very different gospel because Jesus really is off over here just looking. And then Mark reflects on what Jesus told them when he gathered the 12 or his disciples together. And we hear this story of Jesus saying, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put everything she had to live on. And the Greek word is bios, which we, you know, if you know biology, bio is the root, right? So she put her whole life into this treasury today. Now, practically speaking, that's really dumb, right? I mean, if you had a penny and two coins, would you not at least put one here so you would have bread for the day and one for the treasury? So, but that's not the story. The story is, here's this lady who's a widow. First of all, she's a woman, second-class citizen in those days. Widow, third-class citizen in those days. And then poor. She's nothing. But who does Jesus notice? The widow. And he notices what she does. Gives everything. 100%. Just throws it in there. With all these people around, they're throwing in the big money. With the large trumpet into the trumpet. It looked like a trumpet and it would make a lot of clanging. The more bigger coins you throw in, and then you hear tink, tink, two coins. Almost embarrassing that she even bothered, right? Because it was, they would then, when they threw in their money, they would make a comment, you know, to the treasury, to the glory of God, whatever. And she does the tink, tink. So kind of an incredible story. And 2,000 years later, we have this nameless woman, a widow, poor, still honored in this gospel which just has Jesus as a kind of interpreter of the scene. So what does that have to say to us today? She trusted God to just help her. And I wondered, have any of us ever been like that? Or we just gave it all and just sat back and went, I'm surrender, I give up, God, just take care of me. It's an incredible story when it's just like a real small little story with no Jesus as the center. So this really icon of trust, this lady was just a really precarious position. And it reminded me of a story that I mentioned to my wife, Kathleen, and a friend of ours. We were in St. George's years ago, and we had our, it was a small church. We started with 8. Actually, the day I went, there were 10. And they said, well, the next week, they said, we really only have 8. It was you, so you were 9, and someone else came. We don't know. So we had, and then that church over time, with a lot of help and a lot of people, and there was a big sign at the back that said, all are welcome. And I kept saying to people, see that sign? Get out there. You got to be the apostles. Get out there. Invite people in. And you know what? They did. And in 5 years, we had 80. Now, sometimes I would get, we get these little awards, right, from the diocese, because we go to Nehemiah Project, and we would learn things to do and all that type of thing. But sometimes I get a little pushback from the other priests who say, well, half of them were the homeless. That wasn't really true. There were about 10 of them that were homeless. And the reason I bring it up is they would always beg money from me. They always want a dollar. And it got to the point where they'd see me. I never gave them a penny, by the way. Others I did, but not the regulars, because I could bring in $1 million and I'd be handing out $2 million, right? They're always looking for the dollars, because they go over there. There's a store over there that was painted orange, and you could get a cold beer that was in ice for a dollar. I go, no, I'm not giving you a dollar. Anyhow, we had this whole kind of back and forth thing. So the reason I bring them up is we, at one point, the walls were good, the roof was okay, but the windows were all cracked. They're apparently windows from Holy Trinity that they took out 50 years ago, and then we put them in here. There were 9 windows, and they were cracked, and anytime it rained, the water would get in, and you'd see it going down, like on the side, little riverettes, and it would crack the plaster. And my dad's a plasterer, so I would notice things like that. And so we said, you know what? We finally were getting to a good place. We had some money. And I said, the vestry said, we need windows. So I got up there for weeks and said, okay, we need, and we had a nephew-in-law who did windows, and he'd do it for cost. So $1,000 a window for hurricane-resistant windows. Not hurricane-proof windows, no such thing. Resistant windows, as you all know. So we got, because we had St. Mark's as our connection, we got, you know, $500 for this person, $1,000 for that. And also we had like $8,000. So we needed $1,000 more. So I got up there one day, and about where you're sitting in the pink, there was a lady that was there, and I specifically remember her because she had major makeup on, like real powder white makeup, and then she painted her eyebrows. This very kind of stark. And I'm just going on my spiel, and I said, anything will help. Well, I was really talking to the guys in the back because I wanted a dollar from each of them, right? She stood up and said, will this help? With her hand closed. And I said, anything will help. Thank you. And she opened her hand. She had a roll of pennies. Guess what? Those guys in the back threw their dollars in that day. And then other people did. And we had a small window. We had window, a couple windows here. And there was one in the back, kind of as you walk in. And the guys remembered that was their window because they helped pay for it. So it's another trust in God thing. I mean, actually, it was my wife just the other night. I never knew I'd see this lady on the street. She had a roller full of stuff on US 1 and North Palm. And Kathleen was telling me that she lived in, what, a storage bin or something. I guess it was, you know, it's illegal to do that, but she got away with it. So she wasn't truly homeless, but she was definitely pretty destitute. Anyhow, these two stories, the one, you know, the one with the lady that I knew, made it real to me how people can just kind of give it all and how important it is for all of us just to think about it. Now, I'm not, you know, it happens to be, this always falls during stewardship, right? So I'm not saying give it all. It's ridiculous. But it's all about sharing. We say sharing from the abundance, as those money lenders did. But it's also about giving back to God. What these people knew was, what's another 50 cents of, you know, that's all my whole life, or two coins. I'm destitute anyhow. God has always taken care of me. And if we think about it, God has done the same for us. As I get older, I realize, you know, what's really, really important? It's family and close relationships, those type of thing. Looking back, even when we are struggling as young couple and all that, God really has always taken care of us. So it's about trust. Trust God. And think about what God has given you, and then think about what these two widows or this lady offered us to St. George's. And remember that they were poor. They were women. This one was widow, and she was down to her bios, her last coin, her life. Placed it all back because she knew the Creator gave her all, and she just gave it all back. And with that, as the people say, amen. And now we're going to do the stewardship. Chris, and then something will come up on the screen. Thank you.
My name is Gail Drain, and I've been at St. Joseph's since 2006. I came by way of Sharon Cassell, my grief counselor. My husband had died in 2005 on his 64th birthday, and I had just finished 33 radiation treatments for cancer. I knew I had to make a change. I needed a faith community, and I just felt so welcome. And my faith was renewed. My connection with Jesus was stronger. The only place I was happy was here. And then the financial issue occurred. We lost Bill's pension because we didn't have a surviving spouse. I had a mortgage, I had a car payment, and it was really getting desperate. By 2008, I was about ready to go under the bridge and live. It was really awful. And then a miracle happened, and I came into some money, and it was all God. It was all, my prayers have been answered. And I've had so many angels along the way that have helped me. Without my St. Joe's family, I would have never made it through any of this, truly. And of course, the great one that's behind all of it, our Lord and Savior. This place is so special. So, as a result of this windfall, I try whenever I can. If I can help in any way, I do. I feel so good. Cast your bread upon the waters and it'll come back a hundredfold. And it has in so many ways. The special people in my life. I'm not lonely anymore. I'm fulfilled. I just love this place, and we really need everyone to give of their time, talent, and treasure so we can remain St. Joe's strong, which we are. And I thank you, Jesus, all my wonderful St. Joe's family. And I'm so grateful. Thank you.
Wow, what a story. Every time I see that, I almost cry. We are St. Joseph Strong. Good morning. Thank you, Gail, for sharing your story. I must say something. Gail would not say that even during her darkest times of financial struggles, she never stopped giving to St. Joseph's, even when she was so close to losing her home. She faithfully continued giving, and we are so grateful for Gail throughout the years and today. As we talked about last week, St. Joseph's Episcopal Church seed was planted almost 70 years ago, and it has grown and thrived over the years to be like a majestic and fruitful tree. As St. Joseph's has grown, rings of love, faith, healing, service, and ministry have been created, the sharings of St. Joseph's. Today we look at what supports our tree, our roots. St. Joseph's Episcopal Church is rooted firmly as a genuine Christian community. These roots in God feed us spiritually. Being a genuine Christian community feeds our St. Joseph's tree tangibly with love and care for each other. Tree roots go deep and wide, connecting and intertwining. As a result, they anchor one another and hold one another up. God's love anchors us, and when we connect with other people living in the love of God, we find that they help us carry our burdens so that we do not weather storms on our own. They become God's arms to hold and support us. Branches can twist and turn, much like our lives do. Faith in God, when carefully tended, makes it possible for those twists and turns to turn into strong, supportive branches, carrying God's love out to bloom and to bear fruit. Last week, we looked at the Bible verse 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 9. Like Apollos, Father Mike Cassell, and Father Marty Zlatik, as well as other priests here before them, watered our St. Joseph's tree well. And God has given our tree life, health, and growth. We have much to be grateful for. Just like a strong, healthy tree, St. Joseph's has produced some amazing fruit. Rooted in God, tended by committed priests and lay leaders, and nurtured by the Holy Spirit, the St. Joseph tree feeds ourselves and others with ministry fruit. Whatever we do, we must continue to grow our St. Joseph's tree to be healthy and to bear fruit. It takes faith, it takes focus, it takes spiritual nurturing, and it takes all of us to keep our St. Joseph's tree growing and St. Joseph strong. As mentioned last week, when we give of our time, talent, and treasure here at St. Joseph's, we are actually sharing God's abundance, sharing all the gifts and blessings we have received in life and here at St. Joseph's. Let's reflect on the gifts and blessings you have received and how you wish to share them. Don't think about sharing out of obligation or duty, but out of a deep gratitude of God's generosity. Let sharing your life and resources be pure joy. Commitment cards, which are in your pew and that will be mailed to you as well, will be offered and blessed on Christ the King weekend, 2 weeks from now, on November 24th. Also in your bulletin, please read an article on stewardship by Judith Alexis. It is excellent. And as we close, we invite you to join us the next 2 weeks as we come to the tree. Thank you.